Please take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 7. May we remember that freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. On this Memorial Day weekend, let me start by saying that memories are important to me. Our house has many pictures that remind us of our many travels. If you were to go into my office, you would find pictures of places that we have been through the years. We have many items that we have brought back from these places, not necessarily from the tourist traps, but t-shirts, blown glass ornaments. We have a tree that I like to put up in October called my Thanksgiving tree, and it's nothing but blown glass ornaments from around the country. And as I take them out of their individual boxes, I like to read on the box where we got them and when we got them. And they bring back memories. I like to reminisce. Now, I don't have to reminisce to anyone in particular. I just like to reminisce by myself. And I walk and I talk to myself. How many of you talk to yourself? All right, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. Now, they say that the only problem is when you answer yourself. And I do carry on a good conversation sometimes between me and myself and I. But this building has many memories for me. Being that I am the PK, the preacher's kid, and my dad, who sits over here, was the founding pastor, I have attended this church most of my life. It is within these walls that I was taught the Word of God. Bob Badacher was a Sunday school teacher. Don Cochran, Rich Lee, who I mentioned earlier that we saw in Texas. My mother taught the senior highs when I was in high school, and of course my dad, through the years, taught the Word of God, both in the building next door and in this building. So within these walls, I have memories of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It was within these walls that I first saw my wife at a vacation Bible school, a few years ago, Donna. And it was within these walls that my wife and I were married, right down here in front of this pulpit. It was within these walls that my wife and our two sons were baptized. So memories. Every time I come into the building, there are memories. It was within these walls that I had my last verbal interaction with my brother Bob as I came down from the choir and I walked down that aisle, and about where Rudy is sitting right there, my brother Bob was there on that Sunday morning, and I stopped and I talked to him, and little did I know that that would be the last time I would ever talk to my brother. It was within these walls that my brother's funeral was held, and some 20 years later, my mother's funeral would be held. It was within these walls that I was able to walk and to listen to people that went out from this church to be missionaries, like the Jacksons and the Fosters. Bob and Marilyn Plennis that went to Iowa to begin a church. Bob and Sandy Schwartz that went first to North Carolina and now minister in the state of Washington. We think of Donna Rice Daves, who is now in Nebraska, and her and her husband have served many years there in Nebraska. And we even think of Mel Sharp, one of our youth directors that went to Connecticut to begin a church. Within these walls are memories. And then I think of some of our past members, and notice that I will not mention anyone that still attends our church, because I don't want some to say, well, why did they mention them and not me? Well, one day you might be on the list, huh? But Debbie, I put your mother on that list now. You had to have your first Mother's Day without your mother. just a few days ago. But Margie Prince, Lydia Weinberger, Mrs. Peterson. Now, Mrs. Peterson hasn't been part of our church for many years. She has passed and gone on, but she has left our mark in our church because she came in a wheelchair and sat right over here, and there are a couple of pews over there that on the ends you see where her wheelchair marked our pews. But I think of Mrs. Peterson. I think of Don and Marion Cochran. I think of Ed Johnson. When Ed Johnson passed, was that a hole in our church or was that a hole in our church? We think of Bud and Fern Smith and Rich Lee, who I've already mentioned a couple of times, and Barbara Lyons, who played our piano for many years. She's the one that invited my mother to church back when they were teens. I think of the Kellys and the Dowdies, Jim and Sharon Taylor. We think of Michael Ancliffe, who had muscular dystrophy, and we had to bring him up onto the platform in his wheelchair so he could sing in our choir. I think of Greg Lee, and we mentioned him earlier as being one of the first youth directors our church had. I think of Bob Harriman and Jed Hathaway. I used to say about Jed Hathaway, if you didn't like Jed, it was your fault, not his. Think of Norm Maurer. I think of some of the towering fly balls he made when he played for our softball team. And the list goes on and on. It's within these walls that I got my burden for the worldwide mission outreach. Unfortunately, not all memories are sweet. There have been some bitter memories, but that's part of life, isn't it? Memories. We are to remember what the Lord has done for us. We need to remember those who have gone before us in the spiritual warfare before us. If you would you please stand, and we'll begin reading in Hebrews chapter 12, and then in a moment over to Revelation chapter 7. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then quickly over to the book of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. In verse 1 of chapter 8. And when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together this day, thank you for the salvation that we have in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us and guiding us, for directing our lives. Thank you for this country. Thank you for the men and women who have served and are serving even today. Protect those who are serving today, Lord. Bring them home safely to us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. Silence. Most of us struggle with silence. Last Sunday night, we were in the Pleasant View Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. The songs were done. The offering had been taken. The pastor was sitting on the front row. I saw where he was sitting. The song director went and sat down. So what's supposed to happen next? Well, the pastor's supposed to come up, right? He didn't. He sat down on the front pew and he just sat there. How long it was before someone said something? Very quickly. You know why? We don't like silence. In fact, if I were to sit down right here and count 2 minutes, how many would you get of you would get uncomfortable? Yes. In the Bible, it says here, there will be silence for a half an hour. In the presence of God, the angels will be saying nothing for a half hour. Nothing. Silence. The time to remember. If you've been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier there in Washington, D.C., it's very, very quiet. As you watch the one that is guarding the tombs go back and forth. You go to the Vietnam Wall Memorial and there's a hush as you see your reflection in the wall. And as you look for the names of the people you know. Donna and I were in high school, graduating in 71, and we saw names of people that we went to high school with. Silence. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him, that being the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Folks, there have been hundreds and thousands of those believers who have died for the cause of Christ. And even though we think of Memorial Day and thinking of those from the Civil War on that died for this great nation, there are those who have died for the cause of Christ. Saw a bumper sticker that said, "Many gave some gave all." We think of those men and women who have died for the cause of Christ. I saw the bumper sticker that said, "Home of the free because of the brave." We thank those who have fought on our behalf. God has blessed America. You say, well, how has he blessed America? With much money and much revenue and much natural wonders? No, he has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. The greatest blessing any nation can have are gospel-preaching churches. Amen. Churches that proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that salvation only comes through him. I think of pastors that I have either heard of or known personally that have gone on, like J. Frank Norris or Ray Thompson or Neil Jackson or Frank Martin, missionary that we supported for years, or Mike Lane or Earl K. Odom, Roy Johnson, Al Kasten, Bill Hendrick, people who served the Lord and died as ministers for the cause of Christ. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." And there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Silence. I have done many visitations through the years and gone to people's homes. And many times the radio will be on or the television will be on and the person in the house will say, "I really wasn't watching it or listening. I just don't like the silence." And yet we are told, be still so that we can hear the voice of the Lord. This silence was just before the seven trumpets sounded. And you can read it there in the book of Revelation in chapters 8 and 9. See, a trumpet is played to call people to attention. It's called to assemble together. But it is also sounded to sound a warning. To sound a warning. And the seven trumpets of Revelation call out a warning. Following the fourth trumpet, an angel declares, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." May I declare a warning to you today? Our world is in a filthy mess. Sin runs rampant. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. Evolution is declared as a fact when really it's a very poor, poor theory. Coming through Ohio, I saw a billboard that said the NRA is a terrorist organization. I don't believe that. I believe in the Second Amendment. And I hope you believe in the Second Amendment, that we have the right to bear arms. But may I say this, this filthy mess in which we live, that the only cleaning agent that will suffice is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our good works will not get us into heaven. Now, you say, "Pastor Paul, you're a good person. You haven't driven with me lately, have you?" If I had to work my way to heaven, I guarantee you I wouldn't get there. You say, "Well, you're a Baptist preacher and you know most of the songs and you know where things are in the Bible." But I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And you're sinners. And unless we are covered by the shed blood of Christ, we are doomed and damned for hell. Now, I can't help it. A lot of churches today will not proclaim the truth that there is a hell to be shunned. But there is a hell. Amen. Jesus Christ talked about that hell. He would not have talked about it if it wasn't true. There is a hell, but thank God there is a heaven. God may hate sin, but he loves sinners. And I'm glad that he loved me. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how anybody else loves me. In fact, there are times, and we're cruising in on 45 years. Next month, don't forget. Next month. I don't know how she's loved me for 45 years. The fact of the matter is she's loved me for about 42 and a half years. That's a joke, folks. Come on now. Last Sunday night at the Pleasant View Baptist Church, after the pastor got up and began speaking, he mentioned this thought. He talked about hollow Christianity. Hollow Christianity. Do you think we have hollow Christianity today in our world today? Absolutely, we have hollow Christianity. See, we can say we're a Christian nation, but when President Obama said we are no longer a Christian nation, he was right. We're not a Christian nation anymore. In fact, many people in our nation are running as hard and as fast as they can away from the cause of Christ. He talked about hollow churches. Now, I want to tell you this. I believe a church is a lifeboat. It's not a cruise ship. We are a lifeboat. Our desire is to get people into the boat so they can know about Jesus Christ. And I do know that many of our churches today have become entertainment centers. But that's not what we're supposed to be. We're to preach the word. We're to be instant in season and out of season. When things are good and when things are bad, we are to preach the word. Because the time will come in which people, because of their itching ears, will want to have their ears tickled. Because they don't want to know that there is sin and that they need to repent. So why do we have hollow Christianity and why do we have hollow churches? It's because we have hollow Christians. Now, all of you know, if you've come to our church for any length of time, that if there is something downstairs that has peas in it, most likely I'm not going to take it. Thank you. That if there's lima beans in it, they're only good to put in your spoon and fling at people. Right? Absolutely. And Brussels sprouts, God was only kidding. He did not mean for us to eat those things. Those three things. But you know what? Just so you know, there are other things that your pastor doesn't like. Marshmallows. Marshmallows are just hollow, nothing. How many of you like marshmallows? I'm going to have to make a sermon about that. Whoa. Don't you think they're hollow?
Don't you eat s'mores?
I do not eat s'mores. It's a waste of good Hershey chocolate. I eat Hershey chocolate, and I like graham crackers. But marshmallows? But would you say that there are some desserts when you've eaten it, you, and at the end of it, you thought, wow, that was a waste of calories?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, I've done that. Sure. But how about your Christian walk? Are you a Christian on the outside, but on the inside, you're nothing but a marshmallow? Just there. I was, before my phone fell apart yesterday, did I tell you how glad I was it fell apart? I just feel so light. Nothing in the pocket. I just feel great. I was communicating with my granddaughter who's in Cleveland doing her summer intern there in the city of Cleveland. And we were talking about never forgetting our Christian heritage. Never forget it. It's important. In fact, when you die, it's the only thing you can really take with you is your Christian heritage. And you had better share it with your family. Because you can't get your son or your daughter or your maid or your grandkids to heaven because of your good works. If that were true, then because my dad was a pastor and myself as now a pastor, my grandkids would have it for sure, right? But you can't get to heaven because of someone else's works. But you better tell them how they can get to heaven. You better let them know that Jesus Christ came and died. And may we never ever forget it. Now, I know that many in society says we don't care if you're Christians within your walls. But when you come out, leave your Christianity there. No, folks, we need to take our Christianity. We need to take it out to the world. It's what the early church did. They took their Christianity to the world. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand up for the Lord. That's a warning. You know why we need to do it? You know why we need to proclaim Christ in America? Because we have grandkids coming along. And we have great-grandkids coming along. Yes. They need to live in an America that knows about Jesus Christ. They need to know. Shall we stand together? We'll have an invitation song, number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Maybe today you would just like to come to the altar and thank the Lord that you live in America. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just say, Lord, help me to be a better testimony for the cause of Christ. Or if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you would like to know how you can, we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what needs to be done. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that during this invitation time that your will would be done, that the Spirit would move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.